Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this special day, Memorial Day, a day of remembrance, a time to honor those who have given their lives to protect our way of life in our nation. The flowers today are provided by me in memory of my mother, Lucille Richter Cobb. She was never in the armed forces, but I can guarantee you she was a warrior who knew the struggle of daily life and did a good job of handling it. The church, because of Memorial Day, the church office will be closed on Memorial Day tomorrow. Office hours for June will be 9 until noon and 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And if you want to email the church, please use the email address of fpcmariana@gmail.com. The next Montreat Luncheon was scheduled for June the 3rd, and I think there was some confusion about that, but it says June the 3rd, so we're looking forward to it. The friendship pads are on. Everybody that's sitting on this end of a row, hold up that little black pad. There you go. All right, that's our friendship pad, and if you'll take it, sign it, pass it down, and the last one on this side, tear off the sheet and put it in the collection plate. Also, I'd like to remind you about our hymnals campaign. It's continuing, so that if you're even considering, if you haven't already donated, if you're considering donating, you can put a check in the collection plate, or you can ask for one of these envelopes. There's some at the front, and also some over here on a pew on the side. And on here, you can designate if you want to have those given in honor of someone or something. June and Vacation Bible School is coming up in a hurry. If you wish to volunteer, please contact Anna Beth Milton, and the phone number is on the back of the bulletin. And I imagine they'll be doing some training before Bible school, so if you want to volunteer, you need to get in on that. Take your bulletins now and turn to, if you'll open it up and look at the call to worship. We will do that in unison. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Jesus calls us to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the true name of God. Let us worship our sovereign, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our hymn of praise is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is page 138 in your hymnal.
Thank you. We just sang about God who's perfect in power, love, and purity. The truth is, he is, and we're not, right? We're not perfect in power, love, and purity. But we have a God who not only is, but a God who is understanding and compassionate, and it says, come to me. Come to me. Be real with me. Be honest with me, and you'll realize how real I am. And I want you to be close to me. So confess your sins, and I'll forgive them. I'll wipe the slate clean, and you'll be as white as snow, and you'll be as close to God as your very breath. So let's pray together a prayer of confession. Then we'll have a few moments of silent prayer after that. Redeeming God, you have purchased our salvation at great cost. Still, we take our relationship with you lightly. We don't pattern our relationship with others based on the relationships in your Trinitarian relationships. We choose those relationships that benefit us and ignore or reject other relationships to which we are called. Forgive us, O God. Open our eyes and our hearts to the relationships to which you call us. Thank you, Lord, for responding to us, hearing us, understanding, even when we sigh, even when we groan. Holy Spirit, you make sense of that. You're a great God, a loving God, and we're so unworthy of that, but we claim it at our very own because you invite us to, you desire us to be loved by you, love incarnate. So, Lord, cleanse us, forgive us, and make us holy yours in Jesus' name. Friends, believe the good news. Greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ. If y'all would remain standing too, or re-stand. Thought we don't have a children's message today, so we'll make y'all stand and we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance together. Is that okay? Choir can see it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Christians can actually say amen after it. You know. So y'all can be seated. So we're kind of a church that's kind of a representative democracy, so you get to vote today. I heard we need to get out of here fast, which the best place to cut is the sermon. So you want a shorter sermon, raise your right hand. That's a left hand, Ernie. Normal stuff, raise your left hand. It's close, Ralph. It's a close vote, man. Okay, here's a children's sermon for today, which you've heard before, the cross. And there should be a cross in every church. I did a wedding at a church, and they call it the Holy Hoops Church because they had basketball goals. And it was really a really good church. I mean, it had great music. It was alive in Christ. It was a great church. But I said, why don't you have a cross? I said, I really was in love with their church. I said, but I just had that one problem. There was no cross. I said, why isn't there a cross? You know what they told me? The cross is kind of a downer. It's kind of a, they actually didn't say that, but they something like that. They said they didn't have a cross because they didn't want to give people a bad vibe. And I'm thinking, you're a Christian church, right? I mean, everything evidence that you are, except that. Anyways, the cross on which Jesus died tells us two truths. Number one, how great God loves us. The depth of his love was proved, was made evident, was demonstrated on the cross on which Jesus died. But the cross, and you don't hear this in church much anymore, but the cross not only shows us the depths and the width and the height of God's love, but it shows you that God loves us so much, but God hates sin. A lot of people don't hear that much anymore, but that's part of the cross as well. Now, even Hunter Bedini, when he was like 3 years old, say, why did they kill him? Why did he have to go to the cross? You know, out of the mouth of children sometimes. Amazing. Anyways, I didn't realize that the prayer of confession, we must have used the word relationships like 9 times. At least it seemed like a relationship. Christianity's relationships and choir, you know this. The cross symbolizes not only God hates sins and God's love is unlimited and amazing, but it shows us relationships. The first one is relationship with God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Of the 10 commandments, the first 4 deal with your relationship with God. Love him with all you got. And then the horizontal one, the 2 beams of the cross, is the 2nd commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Of course, as Christians, Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another as I first loved you. So I think the cross, to me, symbolizes many things, not just Jesus on the cross and off the cross because he's alive. He's risen. He conquered sin and death. But it talks about relationship because Christianity is relationships. And even Jesus said that. They tried to test him one time, and other people actually from the heart genuinely asked him, what's the most important commandment? He said, quoted Deuteronomy and Leviticus, greatest commandments to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second one, very much like it, they go together, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. At the end of 1 John, before Jude and the Revelation towards the back of your Bible, it's almost in your face, the Apostle John, who referred to himself as the one Jesus loved. He says, you say that you love those who love you. Big deal. He actually didn't say big deal, but he said basically, so what? Even the pagans do that. So our love is different. Our love is for everybody, just like God's love is. And that's how we're different. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So our scripture reading is really short. You know, a lot of the New Testament, it's kind of funny. Our faith is really a strange and beautiful faith. Do you realize a lot of our Bible was written by people in jail? In chains, like Paul actually dictated his letters while he's in chains, because it's kind of hard to write when you're in chains. And this is one of them. This is where we get a classic benediction, which is Trinitarian, that a lot of preachers will use as a benediction at the end of the service. But it's a personal letter, so we're including some of his final warnings and greetings at the very end of 2 Corinthians. And now, my friends, goodbye. Strive for perfection, listen to my appeals, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with the kiss of peace. All of God's people send you their greetings. And this is the benediction, 13:13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Our friend, Rob.
All right, we're going to read from Matthew 28, the very end of the chapter, the very end of the gospel. This is usually referred to as the Great Commission. These are last words of Jesus before he ascends to heaven, before he goes back home. Jesus died, Hebrews 12 tells us, for the joy that was set before him. And I always thought the joy set before him was us. He did it for us, right? And obviously he did. And he wants his joy to be full in us. But I think there's another reason for the joy set before him. Jesus was the one person who died knowing exactly where he was going, exactly where he was returning home. So even suffering, asphyxiation, rejection, spitting, cruelty, taunts, for the joy set before him, he despised the shame, endured the cross, because he knows what heaven is, and he was going back. So he loved us so much, he became one of us, experienced what we experienced, and still had that joy set before him, said, I'm gonna do this. The night before, Thursday night, he sweated blood, saying, Father, if this can pass, so be it, but your will be done. That's some earnest praying there. Like, this is really going to be brutal tomorrow. I'm going to suffer so much. Because, you know, as a little boy, Jesus and his family went to the Passover. He passed by crosses every year, every season. Hundreds of them. He saw people being crucified, dead. So we are his joy. In all four Gospels, you have what's called the Great Commission, plus the beginning of Acts, you have the Great Commission, Jesus' last words before he returns back home. This is Matthew's version of it. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, what do you think they did? They worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. In his last words, this sounds corny, but I actually had an Oriental friend whose name was Lo, so he really loved this verse. And Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Last words are really important. I could give a sermon on that, but people's last words, some of them are actually funny in that. That's another sermon, but your last words are important. These are Jesus' last words to us. It's really a commission. Church, as a church, if you want to be a great church, number one, you worship in spirit and truth. Jesus in John 4 at the woman at the well, which is another sermon too, but Jesus with the woman at the well, that's where he said that the Father is searching for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. There's different ways to worship God. There's different music, there's different preaching, there's different styles. Some people don't call it an altar call because we don't have an altar. There was only one altar. Jesus ended that. He died for us all. But a great church keeps the great commandment. Remember relationships? Love God with all you got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a great church. Who take Jesus at his word. It's all about love. If you obey God by loving, you're showing how much you love him. And the second one, though, which we're not as strong at, is the Great Commission, which also, you know, love is a command. Go is a command. Make is a command. Teach is a command. Baptize is a command. Just like do this in remembrance of me, the Lord's table. So a great church follows the great commandment. What's the greatest of all the commandments? Jesus put the Bible in a nutshell. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And a great church worships God in spirit and truth. A great church follows the Great Commission. Now, some Christians say, you know, I'm not that bold, and I really don't want to share my faith or talk about my faith. But you know what? A lot of Christians underestimate themselves. They talk about their faith all the time, by the way they live, by the way they love, by the way they pray. Some things they do in silence and in secret that nobody knows. Somebody like Stephen Quigley's mom got this joy. That's coming from somewhere, folks, and it's a great witness. Isn't that true, Stephen? It's great to have you here today, by the way. You're an inspiration to us, and we are. That's another way where the church, a great church, prays and intercedes. And intercession is hard work. Y'all know that? Because the devil doesn't want you praying. When you pray, have y'all ever tried to really pray and you get distracted? It's easy. And it's not our fault altogether, maybe not even much. The devil doesn't want you praying. He knows that sermons don't mean that much, but when people pray, it changes the world. And God's a God of miracles. He never changes. So here's the short sermon we're directing. This is just one truth I found. I think it's from Dr. Charles Stanley in Atlanta, Georgia. Linda's not crazy about him because he talks real fast, and I make excuses. Well, he's talking real fast because he's got so much to share. He's a real teacher. He's excited. Can't blame him. So this is about the Acts chapter 1, the Great Commission. Jesus told disciples, don't do anything. Just hang together and pray until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will receive power to be my witnesses in Marianna and Jackson County and Florida and worldwide. So here it is. If the Christian life is simply a matter of doing our best, have you ever told a child, just do your best? One of your children, a grand, just do your best. It's all you can do. Okay. If the Christian life is simply a matter of doing our best, there was no need for God to send the Holy Spirit to help us. After all, our best is our best. How do we improve on that? Since God is omniscient, as we certainly believe he is, he knows when we have done all that we can do. Why complicate matters? So you with me so far? Just do your best. Jesus let it be known, however, that God was looking for more than our best. He was looking for a lifestyle and attitude that superseded our best. So our best is our best, but apparently God wants more than our best. A lifestyle and attitude that we could never attain through our own efforts. Think about this, and this is real logic here. It's real simple. I'm a simple man. If we don't need any help, why need a helper? If we don't need any help, we just do our best. Why did God say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you a helper, Holy Spirit. The promise of a helper presupposes that we need, come on, help. Which, by the way, is one of the best, shortest prayers in the entire Bible. Jesus walking on the water, they think it's a ghost. Simon Peter says, I think it's the Lord. Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Jesus starts walking on the water. Then he takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts sinking and he says, help. And Jesus is so cool, he just walks over to him and gets him back in the boat. The promise of a helper presupposes that we need help. This is like the nugget right here. The promise of a helper was Jesus' way of tipping us off to one of the most profound truths concerning the Christian life. And here's one of the most profound truths about the Christian life. It's not as simple as help, but it's because it's two words, but it is. It's simple. It's impossible. It's impossible. The Christian life is impossible. You know Jesus' new commandment, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And they go, well, we've heard that one before. Other religions have that too. No. He said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. That's impossible, isn't it? Jesus not only looked at people, he knew their heart and he saw their potential, he saw their future. God, one of the reasons I love God is He loves everybody the same. He loves everybody completely. I can't do that. I don't even know if I want to. But God does. So Jesus kind of tipped us off to one of the most profound truths in the whole Christian faith. It's impossible. The quality of life Jesus expects from His followers is unattainable apart from outside influence. Outside intervention's a better way of putting it. The good news of the gospel is Jesus said, Jesus said some strange things. He told His disciples who were hanging out with Him 3 years, left their families and occupations behind. He says, hey, it's better that I'm going. They're going, what? Are you kidding? Aren't you going to take control first? The reason He said it's better that I'm leaving, because Jesus in the flesh, the God-man, the unique person of all time, could only be in one place at one time, am I right? Jesus, crucified, dead, and buried, risen, ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go, teach, make, baptize. We couldn't do that, we wouldn't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus is everywhere. Am I right? He's everywhere. You ask a little child, and they'll say, He lives in my heart. You ask a person in the nursing home, He lives in my heart. He's right there. He's everywhere now. While He was in planet Earth in the Middle East, He could only be in one place at one time. Although He healed one nobleman's son from like 20 kilometers away, bam. He said, on the way home, people met Him and said, hey, your son's, he's healed. Just like at the exact time Jesus said He would be healed. So we need a helper, we have a helper. We need a savior, we have a savior. His name is Jesus. We need a heavenly parent who's perfect and who loves us and has a plan for our life. Not everybody's blessed with parents that are really, really good and amazing. But every person can have a heavenly parent who is perfect and amazing. In Matthew, where it talks about prayer, Jesus says, which of you fathers, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, gives them a scorpion if they ask for a fish? Which ones of you give him a snake if he asks for what, Linda?
Bread.
He says, if you, and this is Jesus' words, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who asked Him? So we'll finish with this, going from an amazing, to me, profound truth of the Christian life, it's impossible. That's why Jesus gave us a helper. And Jesus knew it was possible. Remember, with God, all things are possible. But we'll end this with the Great Commission, real simple. Are you nervous about sharing your faith? Be bold. Open your mouth to share and let the reliable Holy Spirit direct your conversation, your heart, your words, your prayers. And people will see His love and His light just coming out of you and say, yes, thank you, Jesus. And if they're not like that, they'll want to be like that. So that's how we do evangelism and share our faith. And if you look at the word evangelism, there's the word angel in the middle of it. Evangel. So let the good news carry you. You don't so much carry the good news as the good news carries you to where you're supposed to be, to build other people up, to love them, to affirm them, to strengthen them, to give them courage, and to learn and grow from them as well. So, right now we're going to stand and say what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. It's at the front of your blue hymnal, page 14. if you're not real confident with it, because we use a lot of different creeds in our church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to bow our heads and spend a little time in prayer. Lord God, we praise you for a God of love and grace. A God who never changes, who a God is the Almighty, who created everything out of nothing, and you said it's good. Yet you're an intimate God who is intimately acquainted with all our ways. You know everything about us, and you love us still. You pursue us with your love. You never let go of us with your love. You strengthen us with your love. You give us hope with your love. You make us feel like our lives are significant and matter and can have eternal significance because of your love. Lord God, today we pray that you would be with us still as a community that mourns, especially as a community that's been united and mourning together over the death of Riley Torbett and Kason Hatcher. We thank you for their families. We thank you that they give light and love, and they're willing to receive love and support from all the people who love them and people who don't even know them, but hearts go out to them and are inspired by them. We thank you for the hope we have in you that doesn't disappoint, because your love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we pray that you be with Joy Lewis in the hospital right now, recovering from pneumonia. We thank you that her heart is good and strong after surgery. We ask that you would bless the Lamb family now as they move to College Station this week to be with Dr. Cliff Lamb and wife Margot and Dante and Jack and their big sister Jordan, who lives in Minnesota, I think. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them, connect them with good people and a good church home in Texas. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Dolores Williamson, sister-in-law of Jane Powell, and that, Lord, we just pray for a miracle in her life, that she would have a quality of life and answers for healing. We pray that you would diminish suffering from her, and may she be encouraged by how much she's loved and respected. We pray for Stephen here amongst us today, Lord, that as he is patient and prayerful, that his eyesight is restored better and better, and that we know he'll give you the glory and he'll be grateful for all those who help him. We pray for Michelle McDonald and Wayne Barber and Robert Henson, who've had surgeries, and pray for recovery and peace. And we pray for help for Dorothy Baxter in her life, and her spirit, her body, her soul, that you would answer prayers of people who care for her. God, you are the God of all nations. On this Memorial Day weekend, we pause to reflect on the blessings we have as a nation and the high cost of those blessings. We offer our prayers with thanks and intercession. Thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this country, for opportunities to flourish, and for the security of our land. Thank you for those who have served in the armed services of our country, risking their lives for our liberty. Thank you for those who have given their lives in service to our country, sacrificing in such a costly way for the sake of others, including me. Thank you for those who have given their lives so that those who live in other countries might experience freedom from tyranny. Thank you for a day set apart, not just for celebration, but a solemn remembrance, as we consider the sacrifices of so many of our military. Lord, may we be more aware of just how blessed we are as a nation. May we be more grateful for our blessings, more faithful in our stewarding of them, more eager to share them with others. We pray today for the families and friends of those who have given their lives in service to our nation. May they be comforted in their sadness. May they be reassured that the sacrifice of their loved ones contributes to a worthy cause. May they be proud of those they've lost and trusting their ultimate fate into your gracious hands. And Lord God, we don't always want to say goodbye. Some things we don't understand, but we're so grateful that we can entrust those hands that we held into your hands that'll never let go and will welcome into eternal paradise forever. So we thank you, Lord, for our faith. Give us more. We love you, Lord, but help us to love you more. We trust you, Lord, but help us to trust you more. Instill in us, Holy Spirit, the desire to seek you, to chase after you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we're going to worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. This is a good time to pray. And this is a good time to maybe even put a prayer card in the offering. Our Lord God, you're a generous God, and we pause to thank you that you guide us and provide for us. We pray, Lord God, that Tropical Storm Alberto would not get stronger, but would get weaker. We pray that any damage, inconvenience would be minimal. So we pray and intercede for our Gulf Coast, Lord God, that you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is another insert in your bulletin. It used to be known as the Naval Song, but it's been changed, so it represents all the military. Eternal Father, strong to save. We're going to finish reading from Isaiah 43. It's a great promise for God to rescue the people. This last hymn was based partially on it. Israel, the Lord has created you, says, "Do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. You are precious in my sight, and I love you." We're going to say the last benediction together, that one from 2 Corinthians 13:13. So y'all can just repeat it after me. It's one I don't use very often, although everybody else does, I don't. So let's see. It's the Trinitarian one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is it, Joe? No, that's from that's from Numbers. Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. So just to prove that it's from the Bible, we're going to look it up real quick. Stanley, you know it. Kenneth, what is it? 2 Corinthians 13:13. Here it is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God the Father.
Fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with you all.
Amen.